introverted noise.
Hurry up, Daddy.
Let's do it.
To the right, 5 seconds to go in the first half. Dante fires deep to the left. Moss caught it at the 11, but now he pitches
look at
it
this.
To Mo Williams. Touchdown!
You gotta be kidding me!
All right. Welcome back to another episode of the Climbing the Pocket Podcast. I am your host, Jason Brown. You can find me on Twitter at BrownJason. And we are back with the full crew to do a regular podcast. Hopefully you've been following along with our one-a-day draft series where JR and Miles have been coming through, doing their thing, giving you all that draft analysis that you love to help you get ready for the draft. But we're back, full crew, Saxy Prince in the building. And just because I've been talking to the other guys all week, Saxy Prince, I'm going to start off with you because I know you've been feeling a little bit left out of this, you know, this weekly thing. So, you know, we want to have Saxy Prince back on the pod. We're going to give you your opportunity. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm good, man. You know, you're right. I have felt a little left out. And, you know, I'm glad to be back or whatever the case is. You know, Marvel's coming out with a new superhero movie in the next couple weeks. Got me really excited. So here's the thing. I have heard, you know, the runtime for this movie is supposed to be 3 hours.
And 2 minutes.
But I'm prepared for it. Because you know why? Because I went to Black Church, right? 3 hours for Endgame, that's like praise and worship at church. Like, that's what you're doing for 3 hours.
That's a halfway point of church.
what night you going to see the movie?
I have to go see it on Friday because I have one of my Wait a minute.
Chris about to know
it's
all
my fault. It's not my fault. All
right, you getting all spoilers, bro.
You might as well not even go.
No, I'm deleting all my, like, not deleting. I'm not even getting that. Like, I'm getting rid of all my social media apps for that day. Nothing's going to my phone. Like, you guys are not going to hear from me at all for at least a day and a half because I'm not going to have things spoiled at all. It's been 11 years in the making for me. No, we ain't doing any of that.
Okay. I mean, because I'm telling you, Prince, this is how serious it is for me. Like, you know, JR might just hang up after this, but, you know, I'm definitely skipping round one of the draft to go and watch Endgame at the first available show.
You know I would have been there.
Yeah.
I had, like, to miss both the draft and for my class.
I'm leaving straight from work to go to the movies to watch Endgame.
Yo, that's a good idea. I'm trying to figure out how I want to do this. But then
you can follow the draft on your phone, man.
It don't work that way.
No.
I treat the draft like I treat a Vikings game.
Oh, no.
Like, leave me alone.
No.
Like, people on Twitter, I'm like, no, I'm not trying to get people on Twitter to tell me what the picks are going to be. That's boring.
Okay. All right. So, Miles is all the way. Well, Miles, since you on the mic now, man, how you doing? How you been? Yes. You know, I asked you about your vacation when we were recording the other night, but, you know, we got the full crew here, you know.
Yeah. How was the trip? Trip was good. Wife and I went out to Vancouver for a long weekend. It was nice up there. Nicer weather than it is here now. So, I mean, that's saying something. But no, it was nice. I liked it out there. You know, we're already planning our move. So
2021.
I'll tell y'all off there. But no, it was good. It was just nice to kind of get out and relax and kind of get away for a little bit. Not have to worry about our animals. You know, my wife, you know, Jer knows better than anybody. You know, I think we're about 8 weeks out now until the baby's due. So kind of trying to take it in as much as we can until time, because she's been going through some things, just, you know, because it's that time. So
yeah, man. Is it real for you now?
Nah.
Okay.
Because it's not me. Because it's not. It's not affecting my body. Like,
no, I see
the aftermath. I see, you know, how it's affecting my wife. But I just try to do as much as I can around the house and help as much as I can. You know, cleaning and cooking and doing all that stuff, taking care of the animals. So
Miles said the aftermath. I hope she don't listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
I can't wait to take a nap this weekend, y'all. It's gonna be so much fun.
I don't even know what a nap looks like.
I nap heavy. That'll come for you in like 3-4 years.
I was about to say, Jason, your girls are old enough to like where they like naps.
Yeah, man. Well, not really. Let's all go and just chill together. It'll be fun. Just nap time. So, wind it down. Right. Wind it down. And JR, I mean, we know you got a lot going on. You know, babies on the way, draft guide, 5 podcasts a night. How you doing? How you been?
New I'm house. Good, man. I'm good, man. Yeah, a burden has been lifted off my shoulders. I have my nights back now. So, yeah, it's been a lot of long nights, but, you know, it's been worth it. I'm excited to get the draft guide out today, actually. So there's been a lot of good positive things said about it already, just the little previews that I put up. But I'm excited about it. Lots of hard work, a lot of long nights went into this. A lot of people don't really know exactly what went about with this, and I shed some light on it about what went into it and the acknowledgments in the very beginning. You know, I had to show y'all some respect because y'all helped me through this a lot too. So I'm really excited. It's one of my proudest accomplishments in my life ever. So I'm just happy with how all of this came together.
Well, yeah, man. And y'all, it is dope. Everyone needs to pick it up. Supporting a good cause, supporting our man JR. But, you know, we're going to go off script a little bit here because, JR, I do want you to talk a little bit about what went into making this one. We've kind of been behind the curtain watching this all unfold, watching kind of the new designs come in, you getting everything and pulling it all together. But walk us through this one, because last year's was good in terms of the information that you provided. But this year, in terms of the information, the design, just the way it all really came together, it just, you really stepped your game up to a whole nother level. Like, how did it all come together? And how was your process in terms of building the guide and putting it all together this year versus your previous years where you've done something like this?
Yeah, so with the guide, it's a thing that I actually decided to do last May. And following the draft, I'm all about innovation. I'm always looking to get better. That's just something that is instilled within me. I'm always trying to be one step better than I was a previous year before. So with this, I wanted to shed light on background. Y'all know I'm big on background. I want to allow fans or readers to know the entire prospect, because we only get to see one side of prospects. And with myself, I like seeing both sides of the prospect, and we never know the personal aspect of it besides what's out there to read. But with most fans, they don't do a lot of homework or any homework on these guys, and they just know who they are on the field. So with the draft guide, this year's draft guide, I wanted to give a sense of who these guys were off the field. And the only way I'm able to show that was with draft notes. It's a little hashtag that I started 3 years ago on Twitter. And that's just, back then, it was just small, 80 characters. So you really didn't get a lot, or how many ever characters Twitter allowed you back then before they expanded it this past year. So I really didn't get to tell exactly who these guys were. But researching them, you find out so much. Josh Jacobs was a great example. Just learning about his story, how he used to live in cars and hotels with his dad. That's just stuff you don't know. And you only get to see him wearing the number 8 on his helmet at Alabama. That's really the only side of Josh Jacobs that people know. But you just come to expect more from him, and you appreciate him a bit more just because of his story. He wasn't heavily recruited up to his senior year out of high school. And he's a guy that actually had to send out his own highlight tapes at various camps before he even got noticed by Nick Saban and the running backs coach at the time. His name escapes me. It's something that's included in the guys. But just little things like that. Hakeem Butler is another great example. His mom passed away when he was 12 years old from breast cancer, and he's actually cousins with Andrew and Aaron Harrison, who he moved with from Baltimore, Maryland to Texas. So just little things like that, and just appreciating these guys' process and pulling the curtain back on exactly what they had to get through to get to the most important point in their life. And I just love telling stories of what these guys had to go through and what they had to sacrifice to get to this point. And then you get to the meat and potatoes of the scouting report with the positives and the negatives and exactly what I think of them. So I think what a lot of guys fail to do that's out there, and something that I wanted to do personally, is tell both sides of the equation and both sides of the fence, and tell the side of them as a person and as a prospect. So that's just something that went into this. Going down to the Senior Bowl was a life-changing opportunity for me. I got a chance to meet plenty of pioneers and notable names in the industry, and they just told me to keep pushing forward. And, I mean, I worked my ass off, man. That's the best way to put it.
I love it. I love it. And I love it because, you know, normally when we out here, we get the smooth, laid back, cool JR, but it's awesome even though we know it already, but it's awesome to hear your passion really come through, because you can really see it when you really dig in and start to look at the work you've put in. You can really feel, you know, the love that you put into all of this for each of the prospects. And it's, you know, I just got my initial copy today, so I haven't made it through the whole thing. But, you know, the bits that I've been able to look at and the bits you showed us through the whole process, it really is awesome. And anybody listening, please make sure you go out, support JR. You're supporting a good cause. It's great information, and you definitely will not be disappointed. And kind of, I guess we'll say inspired by JR and, you know, the acknowledgement section that he put in to begin. Just want to give a shout out to all the fans. This last couple of weeks has been, you know, since the season anyway, it's our biggest week on the show, getting things ramped back up. And so I didn't want to say a thank you to all the listeners, everyone who's been tuning in to the One A Day Draft Series. Shout out to everyone who's been putting in, you know, work, the guys from Skull Hole, everyone who's been, you know, dropping things on the Climbing the Pocket Network. And, you know, the best is yet to come. We're going to keep getting bigger, keep getting better, try to keep growing this network and pushing out that Vikings content that all y'all seem to appreciate. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Keep listening. Thanks for sticking with us. And, yeah. All right. Well, I guess, you know, we took a little detour, but I think it was a necessary one. It was a very good one. And, yeah, we're going to keep plugging JR's draft guide really at every opportunity that we get, because it's awesome. The man put a ton of work into it. And we want to see this man continue to grow and be successful. So with that, we're going to take a turn from, you know, this, I guess, you know, somewhat serious, you know, kind of real conversation. And JR, I need to ask you about something, because, you know, you are our resident LeBron James fan, stan. You know, so at the midway point, nah, I guess, you know, start of the season for me because Christmas, but, you know, if you started to look at things around Christmas time, you know, it was looking like, you know, LeBron's Lakers were about to do something, make a little bit of noise, maybe get themselves into the playoffs, do something. And for the first time in a long time, LeBron James is going to be sitting at home for these here playoffs. But even crazier than all that, because really that should be one of the bigger stories here, is like LeBron James not making the playoffs for the first time in, what is it? Is it 10 seasons, 11 seasons? I don't even know how many seasons it's been since LeBron James wasn't in the playoffs. But then Magic just decided he was fed up and threw an impromptu press conference. And just went up there. It was like, yeah, so I don't want to do this anymore. And I'm rich, so I'm not going to do this anymore. And just quit his job on TV and went home. Didn't even tell his boss. JR, as not really a Laker fan, but a LeBron fan, how's this feeling for you? How's this sitting with you? And what are your thoughts on where the Lakers and LeBron really go to deal with this dumpster fire of a situation?
Well, as a LeBron fan, it's actually a good thing, because Magic was an absolute disaster as whatever his title was, basketball, head of basketball operations, or whatever you want to call it. Him and Rob Pelinka just did not work together. They didn't work good together at all, even though they came in with a lot of hype. And if you think about Magic Johnson, he's the ultimate adventurous type of person. He owns a lot of businesses, but everything he's been on of the sports side has been a failure. As a GM now, he's been a failure. As a head coach for 19 games, he was an absolute disaster. And even as an owner, he hasn't been great either. So everything that he's basically touched hasn't been great as an executive. As a player, he was phenomenal. But as an executive, it's just been a disaster for him. And I don't want to say this was surprising, but this is something that I actually told my wife about 2 months ago. If you notice, every time you see Magic Johnson, he is everywhere but the Lakers games. You see him at Michigan State's games in the NCAA tournament. You see him at Dodgers games all the time. But you rarely ever see him at the Lakers game. So I'm like, why is this the case? And I'm like, what is this man doing in his spare time to be at every single game except the team that he's over? So this decision really didn't surprise me. The way he went about it was really shocking, because he essentially fired himself on his day off. That's what he did. He fired himself on his day off.
Jason, you got to get that clip into the show, man. You got to do it.
He fired himself. That's why this is so hilarious. And what makes it even worse, he did it on the night that Dirk and D-Wade were retiring. And I'm just like, Magic, you couldn't wait one or two more nights to announce this?
Kind of steal spotlights from people, man.
He couldn't wait one or two more nights to do this? And he just was fed up. He couldn't make the drive to Staples Center no more. They say he cleaned out his office before he even had this little press conference. And then I was actually watching the Lakers game on TV before this Magic Johnson stuff came out. And I'm like, why is there no media at the game? I mean, I know the Lakers aren't good. They're out the playoffs, but their games still pack out just because everybody wants to see the players that are on the roster. But there was absolutely no media on media row. And then you get the tweet from Woj and Shams. Magic Johnson has basically quit, and then Woj went ham. I was really surprised to see what Woj said. He was saying that he didn't put the time in. He just didn't have the commitment, and he was just going off. But me personally, I would love to be in the position that Magic Johnson is in. I mean, I can quit and go be worth my, what, $500 million net worth? That's what Magic Johnson is worth. So I'm sure he's not sweating it at all, but it was just hilarious how he went about it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, like, just it was hilarious. Like you said, he was just fed up, which, I mean, I guess everyone who's had a job at some point in their life has probably felt that way. Just all of us ain't Magic Johnson, you know, I guess it's a good feeling, a good place to be if your job really is your hobby. So when you just don't want to do it anymore, you can just be like, I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm gonna go clean up my desk and then tell the media to tell my boss I ain't coming back. That is some wild shit right there.
Yep.
Yeah, that is wild. Yeah. All right, Miles. Yinka. When you saw all this going down, because for me, it started going down as so many news stories do go. It started to break on Twitter, and then I started like kind of researching from there to figure out like what is really actually happening right now. Because Yinka, I'll start with you. What were your thoughts on all this thing when Magic was just like, yep, I'm done. Not working anymore.
Man, I ain't even out here to make fun of Magic Johnson. He's doing it how we all want to do it. You can show up. You don't even need to show up on to work. To have your boss figure out, you know, you're just not going to be there anymore. And you don't even, you know, you don't even need to do nothing. You don't need to send any, like, you know, two-week notice or any of that stuff. It's one of the most gangster things I've ever seen. Y'all need to give Magic some more credit, man. He's doing it the way we all should be doing it. I thought it was good. I thought it was great.
I'm trying to get me a boss that'll pay me that much to not care what I do.
And still be cool with it.
That's what I'm saying.
He didn't tell her. And she was like, oh, I still love Magic. We have a great working relationship.
I'm trying to go that. I'm trying to find that.
That is what we call finesse at the best. Oh, my goodness. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's goals. Miles, what were your thoughts when it all went down?
I mean, I just kind of did a double take. I was like, wait, what? When I saw the post from, you know, Woj and Shams, just kind of like he said it at his press conference. I was like, wait a minute, what? he literally making the announcement through the press instead of like, you know, talking to Jeannie and all that stuff.
There was no statement. There was no nothing.
Nothing. She found out from. I'm guessing she found out through the press conference. Like, wait, what? Unless he told her beforehand.
Nah, like, he did not tell her beforehand.
No.
And she's still cool with it. She's like, oh, whatever.
What's she gonna do? What choice did she have but to be cool with it?
She didn't even care though. Like, it's not even about like. There's nothing she could do about it, but she didn't even. She was like, "Oh, we still cool. He's still like family to me." Like, what? He did y'all dirty. She just didn't care.
I mean, she
family. That's gonna be an awkward Thanksgiving.
I mean, it'll be all right. They gonna
Magic
be
Magic don't care.
Magic don't care.
Doesn't care.
Jeannie probably don't really care either.
LeBron don't care. I mean,
LeBron don't care.
LeBron
happy for some playoffs off.
He's definitely happy about that.
Yeah, you gotta have the other owner.
About to be touring the world,
right?
Yeah, them social media posts about to be real wild.
Oh yeah,
off season.
Yeah, LeBron gonna be straight wild. Not gonna know what to do with himself this offseason. Yeah.
Hey, real talk though. Like, I know we're talking about Magic and how Magic's being Magic. I'm curious what gig he gets next, because you know he'll find a way to get another job if he wants it. Try to be a new Charles Barkley, whatever. Can we talk about LeBron though?
I mean, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead, man.
Well, I don't follow the NBA like I used to, but why does it feel like almost everywhere he goes, besides Miami with Spoelstra, the coaches are always leaving or getting fired or whatever it is?
Because he's the coach, Miles.
Right.
He's the coach. He's the coach GM. Like
why would I want to go to a team? Why would I want to go coach a team that had LeBron on it because of that factor?
That's why Ty Lue is going to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Lakers.
Oh, wait,
mark
who?
My word. Ty Lue. Oh, mark my Lord. Word.
Again?
Ew.
Yes. He's the only one that can handle LeBron. It's gonna be Ty Lue, and they're gonna hire Dave Griffin. Mark my words.
Those are the only two people that can handle LeBron.
Like, this is funny to me. It's funny to me because I'm not a Laker fan, but it's extra funny to me because the diehard Laker fans, like the Kobe stans, that like, you know, love Kobe and like hated LeBron, but then had to get excited when LeBron came to the Lakers because you're getting LeBron James coming to the Lakers, and then LeBron kind of turning the whole Lakers into just a dumpster fire this season. It's just hilarious to watch because they're so mad. There's nothing they can do about it.
Nothing.
But they're so mad. Oh.
You think he rebuilds that roster next year?
Of course he will.
I don't know. But, like, that's the thing that's weird. Normally by this point, you're starting to hear rumors of guys, like, wanting to go or joining up with LeBron. All I've really seen is like this person already said they're not going to go. Like who are the guys that are actually rumored to go play with LeBron?
I love LeBron. He can't get people to commit to Space Jam 2. Nobody wants to play. he's in the Kobe stage of his career, man.
He really wants
to go play with him.
He's coasting now.
Yeah.
I love LeBron, but he's in that latter stage where nobody wants to go play with him. He went to LA. He wanted to be closer to his kids. Yeah.
Right off into the sunset.
Right. And get paid a cool, you know.
And just not be in Cleveland while you're doing it.
Exactly. And then eventually own the Cleveland Cavaliers, you know, down the road.
You think he's going to play long enough so he can play with LeBron Jr.?
If he wants to.
Not if it's going like this. That'll get sad.
Yeah, he already said he ain't playing. If he's a scrub, he's going to retire.
Oh.
He's not going to be a scrub.
He's too good for that. But
yeah, if it's not Anthony Davis, it's going to be hard to get anybody to come.
I was about to say, he really needs that superstar athlete to come, superstar player to come carry the team, so he doesn't need to.
But that's the thing. Like, if you a young superstar coming into your prime, like, you really want to go deal with all that? Because really, like, if it's Anthony Davis coming, it should be his team when he gets there, you know. But it won't be.
Let me say this. I still think, even though it's a far-fetched thing, and it's something that I think may happen, I think Kyrie may go out there. I think. That's just a far-distance thought.
Because then Kyrie gets to be the Batman time around.
And then they still be able to trade for Anthony Davis. That'll be their big three.
And then eventually trade LeBron in like 2 years.
Magic will come back to send him back to Cleveland.
Wrong him to trade himself
for Zion.
Oh man!
Oh, the Lakers about to win the lottery.
Yeah, they about to rig the lottery and give them Lakers.
For real though.
Oh man! All right, let's talk a little bit of football before David writes me an angry letter. And
because Prince had some heartbreaking stuff he wanted to talk about, right?
What? Are we going to talk about Black Panther now?
No.
But you guys wanted to talk about Black Panther not winning an Oscar?
Oh, y'all shady.
I was talking about you wanted to talk about the draft. I was like, oh. Go ahead. You did all this research. My man. I'm playing too much.
Leave that to y'all. Y'all been good. Appreciate all the work you've been putting in.
No, but for real, though, somebody who's not me, somebody who's actually been keeping up with this, so I'm going to say JR, who have the Vikings had in for their top 30s has actually been someone that we should actually be interested in.
Yeah, so Darren Doogie Wolfson reported this yesterday, I believe it was. He said that Andre Dillard was at TCO on Monday, and they kind of were trying to keep that a secret and really trying to hide their interest in him, because you didn't see anybody reported at all prior to his report. So that really shows their significant interest in Dillard, and I think he may be one of their top options on the board. Yeah, and Jeffrey Simmons is another guy they tried to sneak in without a lot of people reporting, but I had a source tell me that he was there on Thursday. He also put it up on his Instagram too, so that showed that
Rewind. I'm sorry, Mr. Big Shot Draft Guide guy. Well, what did you just say?
I had a guy tell me that Jeffrey Simmons was in the building on Thursday and that there is significant interest in him. Now, I'm not saying that's at 18, but if he's there at 50 because of the ACL tear, if he does start to slip, maybe they could explore trading up for him, or if he does fall to 50, they could really explore taking him there too. So keep an eye on Jeffrey Simmons, that we know about his past, and I'm sure if they're bringing him in for a visit, they probably already have a written statement ready if they do end up selecting him.
Hey, I got a question for y'all. So it's definitely like small screen season right now for teams. They want to create buzz. They want to create, you know, certain narratives of you know, positions or players that they want other teams to think that they're taking or going to take, whether that's first, second, third round. We've heard, you know, a lot of this cornerback talk. I've seen a lot, like, you know, I follow the Vikings on Twitter, and I watch some of the videos that they post on their site, just to catch up and see, you know, if there's any news or anything going on. But they've talked a lot about cornerback, and I know the whole, you know, Mike Zimmer taking a quarterback in the first round, like, it would not be a surprise, right? But what do y'all think of this idea that they might be trying to, you know, smokescreen this idea that, hey, we might take a Greedy Williams at 18 or something like that to help create that buzz that creates that idea and that hope that, you know, a team might want to jump up, you know, maybe swap picks with them at 18 to go grab a cornerback, just to kind of help create that that buzz a little bit.
I think the Vikings absolutely, that's a great point, Miles. I think the Vikings should absolutely be pushing, you know, the hype on some other guys that, you know, they may not be that interested in, position groups they might not be that interested in, but they know that it's so scarce at that, at those positions, like cornerback or just DB in general. So yeah, absolutely. Cause then you get to, you know, you will start to get to gauge who our trade partners are, in the event that, you know, maybe there's a run on offensive linemen that we are really interested in, or, you know, other position groups that, you know, we might be able to grab at those spots. But yeah, I think it's a good point.
I don't know. I would say in any other year, the smoke screen thing for the Vikings might be something that that other teams would buy into. But I mean, Spielman, Zimmer, yeah, Kirk Cousins, they all got the same amount of time left in their contracts. I just don't know. Like, do we really think Rick has it in him, has the testicular fortitude, as they say, to really get slick with this draft this year?
Yes.
Like, we really think, like, yes. I don't know. If the board starts to fall where there are offensive linemen still available, not offensive linemen, let's say, like, offensive tackles like a Dillard or a Jonah Williams or anyone like that actually starts to fall down the board, do we actually think that the Vikings would take any position other than one of those, just given the PR situation that they're in after year one with Kirk Cousins?
But that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, that they're creating that smokescreen and that buzz to create that idea that some of these positions might go higher. So you might see teams or maybe even jump ahead of them to make sure that they get a cornerback or a defensive lineman, so that some of those offensive linemen fall to 18. That's kind of what I'm saying, though, is like some of that smokescreen. I mean, to trust Rick to take an offensive lineman in the first round, I mean, we haven't seen him do it since 2012. We haven't seen him take an offensive lineman in the first – we've only seen him take two offensive linemen the first two rounds in the last, like, 12 years. So, I mean, I get the hesitancy from fans, like – but that – to me, that plays in favor for Rick, where he can kind of use some of that that thought process of people thinking that that's the move that they're going to do, of not taking offensive linemen to help create buzz for other guys so that some of those guys that they do like slip a little bit.
I'm playing that four-dimensional chess.
Oh, we've seen Rick do that though.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Pulling, I guess, like a Drew Rosenhaus move, trying to pump guys up to
make
people think it's something that it really is not.
Right. Like if there's one thing I trust some of the moves on draft day that Rick makes. I'm not saying I trust all the picks he makes, but I trust a lot of the moves he likes to make and the maneuvering he does.
I mean, for me personally, just from an entertainment standpoint, I would love it if they picked something other than one of the consensus tackles if they were there, just because I think it would be funny. But then from like an actual fan perspective, no, I'd probably still, like, depending on what the board looked like and the available players that were there, like, it's offensive tackles really the only draft, only offensive line position I really would want them to take in round one, especially where we are. We're not at the top of the draft. We're not in Quentin Nelson type territory. We're in the middle of the draft. So offensive tackle there, or, you know, skill position, be that DB.
I don't think a wide receiver.
But like, you know, JR is hinted too, and like Miles
running back.
The
so let me ask y'all this, and so would y'all take, and Jason, I already know your answer to this. If DK Metcalf is there at 18, would you take him?
Nope.
No, I would trade back for if it's not the top what, two guys that are up there on the board. No, I would definitely trade down. I'm not taking a wide receiver for.
Jason doesn't even want to answer. I'm hoping DK goes high. That's a good thing for the Vikings.
He's going high.
On the podcast that dropped this morning, he would let you know why I probably would not be going for DK Metcalf in the first round, because as much upside as he has quite a bit of downside as well. And I feel like, especially in a draft like this, there are a lot of players that you can get. Maybe not with the amount of upside, but I feel like the first round is as much about not getting the pick that's going to blow up in your face, like be a complete bust. And DK has that kind of, like, he has a lot of things that point to that, that his fans don't like to talk about. Like Miles called out, he has the injury history. He has the production profile that is just okay. And on his own team in college, he was never the alpha receiver. So if you're picking a guy in the first round of the NFL draft with his kind of body type profile, you're looking at him to be your wide receiver one. And it's just a stretch for me to think that the guy who was never that in college is going to come in and all of a sudden be that in the pros. So please,
150 targets a season type of thing. Like that's a lot to ask for a guy that's never that hasn't done it.
So what's the earliest y'all are comfortable with taking a receiver?
Oh, for like at all?
Yeah.
At all. Receiver?
Yeah,
I might take AJ Brown.
I'd say probably anything
after pick 20. 25 is that range for me for a wide receiver in this class.
Yeah,
like DJ Moore and Calvin Ridley. Like I'd take DJ Moore over most of the receivers in this draft.
No, I'm saying for the Vikings. What's the earliest y'all comfortable?
Oh, 50 for me.
I mean, I might take AJ Brown at 18.
Oh my god!
We gotta stick together. But yeah, running back. We're joking.
You know I'm playing.
We're joking about it with running back. But you,
Josh
know,
Jacobs, baby.
Class of running backs is not good. Prince has not tweeted about a single running back this entire draft season. Not one. That's how you know this running back class is hot garbage at the top end. We have seen near one tweet from Prince all draft season.
Y'all know I would stand for one of them, but I've been saying it since, maybe January. I don't have, or maybe even February. I don't have a first round grade on a running back in this draft class at all.
Me neither.
Same. They ain't good.
Yeah. So Prince, what is the earliest you would take a running back in this draft class?
Wait, for the Vikings or in general?
Okay. Yeah. So for the Vikings.
Middle of the third round.
Oh.
Jason being nice.
You know what the voice, the face that I pictured when he said that? When he was like, oh.
How about you, Miles? What's the earliest you'd go running back in this class?
We talking Vikings still?
Yeah, we'll go Vikings.
Day three, like a fifth. I know the Vikings don't have a fifth round pick, but like that range, like fifth round.
Yeah, so they don't have a fifth round pick, so that works.
Yeah. No, but like I expect them to find a way. I mean, we know that they're going to trade back and get extra picks and whatnot. Like Rick's going to find his way to make like six picks on day three. So like one of them will probably be a running back. I have no problem with that on day three.
All right. All right. That makes some sense. That makes some sense. I feel like that's it. I mean, like with the Vikings, like we are in like the absolute deadest of dead zones as it pertains to really talking about stuff about the team. Unless one of you guys is really, really itching to get into the AAF signings. Like, are there any of the guys they signed from the AAF that you're like, that guy might actually make the team?
Darren Smith.
Okay. JR, any of them you think making the team?
I can't name you one person they signed from the AAF. I'm not even going to lie.
Hey, you got an excuse, man. You got a lot going on. You got a draft guide, a new house, you know, pregnant wife. You get a pass on all that. Prince, anybody? No? Yes?
Nope. Nope. Okay.
All right. Nope. Well, that's it. I mean, I feel like we don't need to go too much. This is going to be the second pod that drops on Friday anyway, because we still have the one-a-day draft series that's upcoming. So, yeah. Prince, you still working on that series? We got another article coming up soon. Anything we should be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I've been a little busy with acting classes and starting to pick up. But, yeah, it's hopefully getting up, like I said, two articles next week. So.
Bet. How about you, Miles? You back from vacation? I know work's been keeping you a little busy. Anything in the hopper? Anything we should be looking for?
Just our podcast series right now. I'm working. Everything's got me. I'm doing extra stuff outside of work too. So there's stuff I don't really have too much time for.
All right. Well, yeah, we're gonna keep you busy on this podcast, especially if we get into next week. And JR, obviously, you got the draft guide. And, we're going to keep you busy with some podcast stuff as well. So, yeah.
And then on Monday, I'll be with PA. I'm K-Fan.
Man.
Woo-woo.
The internet spoke that into existence. I can't believe I almost forgot that. Thank you for bringing it up. JR going to be back on the airwaves with PA. That is going to be awesome. Friend of the show.
You need me to handle the contract. JR.
Yeah, man.
I'll handle that contract for you.
And I'll be trying to pull a big baller brand on
Yeah, man. And before we get out of here, just a couple other things. Wanted to shout out to our folks over at Vikings Territory. JR has done some work with them in the past, but they are working on kind of a Viking streaming service. They've been giving us a lot of love here lately, so wanted to send some back their way. And also shout out to our friends down in Brazil. Somehow, some way, we ended up on a very long thread with some folks. We have Vikings fans in Brazil. Apparently they are a very rabid fan base. They were cracking jokes about Mike Zimmer being upset about not being able to take a cornerback in the first round and all kinds of good stuff. So if anyone speaks Portuguese and wants to go hop over to the Climbing the Pocket feed, I think they're still going right now. But shout out to all the fans in Brazil that are following along, listening. And that is it. That is all, gentlemen. As always, it is a pleasure to come on and record. Listeners, thanks for sticking with us. And we will talk to you soon. Have a good one.